All right. Well, good to see everybody this morning. So glad that you're here. And this morning, right after the service, we want to invite everybody to come. We have a tailgate party right after church today. We're going to enjoy some great food and fellowship with one another. And it's always just an awesome time for the church family to get together that way. And that's why a number of people are wearing their sports jerseys today. Way too much yellow and green for my comfort level, but yeah, good for you guys. Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, I really don't have one. That's the truth. I know. I should be representing my Huskies, but I didn't have a shirt to wear. But I gave him honorable mention at least. Hey, there are some people we would really like to honor today. Every year around the time of September 11th is a good time for us to remember those that that have given their lives for protecting us and defending us. And this morning, we want to take time to do that. We want to take a moment to honor all of our first responders, let them know how much we appreciate them. And so firefighters and our law enforcement officers that are here this morning, and also if you work in the EMT field, in any of those kinds of first responders kinds of careers, would you folks stand? I also want to include, too, if you're retired from one of those professions, we want to honor you this morning. And also, if you work, you know, behind the scenes, maybe you're not a firefighter, but you know, you're working at a desk or you're working behind a phone or whatever, we want to include you folks as well. So all of you that work in any kind of first responder career, would you all please stand to your feet this morning so that we can say thank you to you and recognize you this morning. Yeah. Thank you so much. Please just remain standing for a minute. Yeah. If y'all could please remain standing. An usher is going to come by and give you a coffee card to enjoy a free drink at our cafe. So that's the least we could do this morning, but we do want to say thank you to all of you and to recognize you. We appreciate you. Go ahead, and you can be seated this morning. And yeah, thank you so much. I also want to recognize Pastor Roger today. It's his birthday. Yeah. Amen. 39 years old and still rocking for Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about, I think, something that really touches every one of our lives. We're going to be talking about joy today, about joy. And perhaps you've come into this place and your life is just full of joy today. This is going to be one of those messages, put it in your back pocket because you're going to need it at some point in your life. Perhaps you've come into this place and you don't feel very much joy at all today. Maybe your life is filled with some sadness today or discouragement in some way. The last thing that I want to do today is pile on and make you feel like you're not a very spiritual person, or if you really love the Lord, you wouldn't be feeling that way. I am very aware of the fact that we all have ups and downs in life. And in church, of all places, we should be able to be real. Isn't that right? So we don't want to create an atmosphere at Bethel Church where you always got to come across like everything's great all the time, because that's not reality. But I do want to leave you with some words of hope today, that no matter where you are, the Lord can bring joy into our lives no matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to start off with, I really like these. Maybe you're not into these. I really love some of these humorous reader boards. And there's actually a gas station up in the Wallingford area of Seattle, Wallingford Oil. They've gotten famous for these reader boards that they do. And so I wanted to share a couple of these with you, since we're going to be talking about joy today. And we all know it's important once in a while to give ourselves a reality check, but this guy says my reality check bounced. So Yeah. And then there's this one. The past, present, and future walked into a bar. It was tense. Yeah. Okay. You English majors will like that one. And then here's kind of a political one. Ban pre-shredded cheese. Make America great again. And then this one, guys, this might apply to you. My wife said I never listened to her, or something like that. Yes. And for you parents of youngsters, I childproof my house, but the kids still get in. So terrible. And then since we're talking about freedom, I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around. Now, churches kind of try to get into the act here when it comes to humorous reader boards. Sometimes they do really great. Sometimes they fail miserably. And here, this is a good one for the start of football season, because down south they take their football real seriously. If you don't love Jesus and root for Bama, you'll all burn. Wow. Take their football seriously at that church. Yeah, yeah. And then there's this one. Some people should use glue stick instead of chapstick. Ouch. And then there's some that just, like, they kind of fail because it depends on where the emphasis is. And I know this church really, I know what they meant to say, but here's what they said. We love... So yeah, I mean, there's one way to say that, right? We love hurting people, and then there's the, we love hurting people. Well, we want you to know today, if you've come into this place and you're kind of hurting, we want you to know that we really do love you, and we want you to know, more importantly, that the Lord really loves you. And so today we're going to be talking about freedom, and specifically in this area of having joy in our lives. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, a couple of things about this verse that are, they're so key to our understanding. First of all, Jesus is telling us that spiritual warfare is very real, that there really is a devil, and he really is out to destroy your life. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand that spiritual warfare is a real thing, you're never really going to understand why some of the things happen in your life that happen. The reality is spiritual warfare is real. There is a devil, and he wants to rip you off. And this morning, specifically, we're going to be talking about the fact that he wants to rob you of the joy that you have in your life. He wants to, because if the enemy can be successful in stealing our joy, boy, it certainly makes life so difficult. And there's a lot of things in life that can rob us of our joy. Bad news, being hurt by somebody, worry, excessive worry will certainly rob us of joy. Unforgiveness, we've been hurt and we won't let it go. That will wear us out and rob us of our joy. And so there are many things that the enemy, the devil, will use to rob us of the joy that the Lord wants us to have. So that's one reality in this scripture that we need to understand, that the devil is real, that spiritual warfare is real. But the other reality I want you to understand is Jesus is real too. Amen. Yeah. That the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but here's the promise from Jesus. I have come that they may have life. Everybody say life. And have it to the full. Yeah, there's no indication here that Jesus wants us to just squeak by. He wants to give us a full, abundant, purposeful life. He wants to give our life meaning. He wants to give our life joy. And there's probably no surer sign that Jesus is working in our lives and that we're being set free than the presence of joy in our lives. And so I want to share with you now, don't get scared off by this, but I'm going to share with you this morning 12 ways to have more joy. 12 ways to have more joy. Now, this is not a 12-point sermon, all right? We are going to get to eat today. This is more like a list, and I promise you this, probably not all 12 of these are going to mean a lot to you this morning, but I'll promise you this, two or three of these 12 things, they're going to land in your life, and they're going to help you today. And so that's my prayer. And so 12 ways to have more joy. The first one is this, and it sounds so basic and simple, but make a decision to be joyful. Make a decision to be more joyful. Now you say, Pastor Tim, is it really that simple? You know, there's a lot of things in life we don't get to choose. You didn't get to choose your family that you were born into. You didn't get to choose where you grew up, probably. There's a lot of things in life that we don't get to choose. There are circumstances that come up in our lives that we have no choice in the matter. But there are a lot of things in life that we do get to choose, and one of the things that we get to choose is our attitude. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now I want you to notice that this is a command. Rejoice. Not just when you're happy, but rejoice. Make a decision, make a choice to rejoice. It doesn't say just when things are going well or when the circumstances are all lining up in your life. Rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. We can always choose to be a joyful person. We can choose to be thankful and to rejoice in the Lord. Second thing is this, look for joy in the right places. Look for joy in the right places. One of the reasons we wrestle with disillusionment is that we're expecting something to make us happy that was really never meant to make us happy. We're looking for happiness and joy in the wrong places, and we're looking for things that could never really make us joyful. Even things that might make us temporarily happy, they don't bring lasting joy to our lives. And then what happens is disillusionment sets in, and we get a case of the if-onlys. If only I had a different job. If only I had a better house. If only my team won more. If only people were nicer to me. If only. We get the if-onlys, because when we look to the wrong things to be our source of joy, we're going to fall victim to disappointment and disillusionment. And we need to remember that the ultimate source of joy is God Himself. We are created by God. We are created in the image of God. And we are created to have fellowship with God. And when we begin to make all of this other stuff in this world our source of joy, we're always going to be let down by it, because it can never really bring us true lasting joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11, big scripture we have out in front in our foyer right now. "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy." Where? "In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I want you to know something. God is not the big killjoy that people make him out to be. God wants your life to be joyful and fulfilled, and he wants you to have expectations, but they're not going to be found in the things of this world. If you want to have joy, true lasting joy, you've got to look to the right places, and you've got to start with God. Thirdly, unburden your heart through prayer. If you want to have joy in your life, you need to learn to unburden your heart and stop carrying around stuff that you were never meant to carry around. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the heavy things that we carry around, the things that burden us, the things that weigh us down and rob us of our joy, the simple act of daily prayer, taking those burdens to the Lord. Now, some of us think, well, I don't want to bother God. He's so busy. That is a complete misunderstanding of how great and mighty our God is. Amen? God's got plenty of time and plenty of ability for every one of us in this room, not only for all of us, but for everyone in this world who calls upon his name. Amen? He is big enough and great enough. Never feel like, oh, my life is so insignificant. I don't want to bother God with this. God loves you. He cares about every detail of your life. Yeah. Unburden your heart. Take time to spend in the presence of Jesus. Stop carrying around the weight of the world, stuff that you were never meant to carry around. Number four, leave the past in the past. Yeah, leave the past in the past. If you want to have joy in your life, you got to let stuff go. Let it go. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. By the way, this is the theme scripture for the Freedom Course that we launch next Sunday night here at Bethel Church. And you're all invited to be a part of this great course. Right now we have over 120 people signed up. It's going to be a powerful time. You can sign up even this morning. This is the theme verse for the Freedom Course. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Does anybody else here love that promise? Amen. Wow. Leave the past in the past. Number five, release your heart in worship. Release your heart in worship. Your heart was designed, created by God to worship. And when we hold back, our hearts are bound up. Release your heart to worship the Lord. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord. Everybody say, shout. Oh, that was good. Woo. You got it in you. Shout for what? For joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So the Bible prescribes all kinds of ways that we can worship the Lord. We sing, we shout, we clap our hands. The Bible even talks about dancing before the Lord, which is an awesome thing. Personally, I don't do it because I don't, you know, want you guys to all quit church because I, you know, but dancing before the Lord. I mean, I'm doing it when I'm by myself, you know, not with all you guys. Dancing before the Lord. Just let your heart go in worship. And we are great worshipers here at Bethel Church. You do an awesome job. But I believe God wants to even do more in the area of our worship, for our hearts to be set more free and experience the joy of the Lord in our worship. Number six, let yourself laugh. Come on. I had a guy, this is years ago, he came to visit Bethel Church, and I don't know what, it was his first time to come to the church, and I don't know what happened that Sunday morning, but he wanted to meet with me. And so, you know, dumb me, I met with him. And he sits down in my office, and the first thing out of his mouth is, "You're not one of those happy churches, are you?" And I said, "Well, like, compared to like a sad, miserable church, I don't know." Let yourself laugh a little. Yeah, Julie's getting it right now, right there. See? I like it. And don't think it's not spiritual. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If you want to be more joyful, come on, let it go. Laugh a little bit. Be joyful in the Lord. And then number seven, this kind of goes along with number six, hang out with joyful people. Hang out with joyful people. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. The Lord wants to use us to make a difference in all kinds of people's lives. But every one of us in our lives, we tend to become like the people we hang out with a lot. Right? And if you're constantly with people that are speaking negatively, have critical spirits, are negative and not faith-filled, I'm telling you, it's going to drag your spirit down. You need to be around people that have some faith, some people that have joy, some people that are hopeful, some people that are encouraging. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Right? Get with some people that know how to speak encouragement in life. Number eight, create a joyful atmosphere in your home. Create a joyful atmosphere in your home. Open up the shades, guys. Come on. Let some sunlight in your house. Turn on some uplifting worship music in your home. Speak positive things. Speak the things of God in your home. Put up scriptures in your house that are uplifting. Wash the dishes that are piled up in the sink. Come on. Right? Create a positive, uplifting, joyful atmosphere in your home and live that way. Number nine, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's impossible to have joy when you're constantly making mountains out of molehills. Figure out what's really important, what really matters, and stop making a big deal about the stuff that doesn't really matter that much. And all of our marriages would just be a lot happier if we would do this one thing. Stop making big deals out of things that aren't really big deals. You'll have more joy in your life. Number 10, speak positive, uplifting, joyful words. If you want to have more joy in your life, speak more joyful things. Be more thankful. Speak out things that are positive and uplifting. Speak out things that are faith-filled and they're based on the Word of God. Stop being critical and tearing down and being critical of yourself and beating others up. Speak more positive, life-filled words. And it's huge, huge, huge. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Wow. Wow. Number 11, feed your soul with God's word. Feed your soul with God's word. It'll give you more joy. You know, reading the Bible for the Christian, it should never be a chore. We never read the Word of God because we have to. There's no law that says we have to. We read the Word of God. We spend time in the Word because we get to. God's promises, they're a gift to us, church. And instead of filling your heart and your spirit up with the things of this world, the things that are going to drag you down, that Eminem music, start filling your heart up with the Word of God. Amen? I'm just telling you, if you're listening to Eminem all day long, I'm only saying him because that's the only rapper I know. But if you're, I mean, come on. I know very few that, you know, I couldn't even tell you. All I know is it sounds really angry to me, right? And if you're constantly filling your heart and your mind up with angry stuff, of course your spirit's not going to be lifted up. It's going to drag you down. So instead of that junk, Fill your heart up and your spirit up with the good things of the Word of God. Come on. Psalm 19:8 says, the precepts of the Lord, that's the Word of God, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Fill your soul with God's word. And then number 12, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not just saying this because we're a Pentecostal church here at Bethel Church. I am saying this because I believe that the Holy Spirit is God's life-transforming power for our lives. It's the Holy Spirit gives us life. Be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And what he was addressing here, for a little bit of background, he was talking about people in the church that were becoming legalistic about what kind of food people should eat. And so he says, look, that's not where it's at. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. But here's where it's at. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's where it's at. That's what we're talking about. That's real life. That's life-giving power from Jesus Christ. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do this morning is I want to take a couple of moments to just pray for a release of the joy of the Lord in your life. That if you've been experiencing just a lot of sadness or discouragement or depression, I want to pray that the chains will be broken and that your heart will be set free. That the joy of the Lord, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I want to pray return and revival of the joy of the Lord in your life. And again, my message today is in no way meant to make anybody here, if you've been struggling with discouragement or depression or sadness, my message this morning is not meant to make anybody walk away feeling even worse. Like, what's wrong with me? That's not my intention at all. I just know that God can help you. That's what I know. A few months ago, a minister that I didn't know him personally, but for years this minister has been someone who I've admired. I've heard him preach many times, and especially as a young person and my years as a youth pastor, this evangelist spoke so much life into my life, so much encouragement. And a few months ago, this evangelist that I had admired for so long committed suicide. Now, here's a guy that's impacted so many lives, touched so many people, made a difference in my life. And I had no idea that for years and years he struggled with depression. And I can only imagine that, especially as a pastor, as a minister, he probably felt like he couldn't admit that to anybody. I mean, I'm supposed to have it all together, right? I'm not supposed to, you know, experience those things that other people experience. And for whatever reason, honestly, I know very few details, but I do know this. I do know that it was a wake-up call to me that no matter how long someone has known the Lord or how spiritual they are, we all have to keep our guard up. Amen? We all have to keep our guard up. And we need people in our lives that we can be open with and vulnerable with. We need people in our lives that the Lord can use to speak life and encouragement and hope into our lives. And so I just want to pray today that the Lord would restore joy. Would restore joy to our lives. Now listen, I just want to say this morning, even before we do this prayer, some of you this morning, I believe that God is going to touch your life immediately this morning, and you've walked in with some heaviness in your life, and the Lord is going to set you free from that today. I believe that. But I also know that it's possible that I could say amen at the end of this prayer and you still feel the same. You might go, well, I just kind of feel as down as I did when I walked into church today. All right? So it's okay. It's all right. I want you to know that the joy of the Lord, it's not an emotional thing. The joy of the Lord is something that God does deep, deep in our spirits. And whether you feel it when you leave here or not, I know this. I know that the Spirit of God is going to be in you. He's going to transform you and change you, whether you feel it or not. Amen? Whether you feel it or not, this is what the Lord does. This is what God does. And so if I could have, let's just all bow our hearts before the Lord, and we're just going to open up this time for the Holy Spirit to minister. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up on the platform and be ready to lead us in a closing song. But before they do that, before we sing, I want us to take some time right now. And if Kayla, if you could just play on the piano there, that would be great. Thank you, Lord. All right, everybody, hearts bowed before the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to ask this question, just being honest this morning. How many of you in this place, you've been experiencing some excessive sadness or discouragement, disillusionment in your life, and you really need a restoration of joy? You need those chains to be broken. If that's you today, would just raise your hand up right now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, just being honest. All right. Looking around, just hold it up for just a moment. All right. You can put your hands down. Now, let me ask a second question. Are you here this morning and you've recognized that the things you've been experiencing, the lack of joy in your life, is because you haven't been making Jesus the center? And for you today, that first step is to make a recommitment of your life to Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, and today you would like to do that. You want to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer, a powerful prayer, right where you're seated. But if that's you today you need to make Jesus the center of your life. Would you raise your hand up right now? Yeah, honestly. God bless you. God bless you. Powerful. Others this morning, just hold your hand right up high so I can see it, all right? Several of you. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and you can put those hands down. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now of just opening your heart up to the Lord. And church, would you pray with those that have raised their hand this morning? Father God, I need you in my life. I need the joy and the life that you have for me. God, I know I've been doing things my own way, and it's not working. So today I ask you to forgive me. I commit myself to you today that with your help, things are going to change. I ask for forgiveness. Lord, I open my heart up to you, and I ask you to come into my life to transform me and change me. Forgive me of my past. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross because you love me. And I believe you've risen from the dead. Come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, right now, I pray, God, for those that just received you into their life. I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would seal that prayer that they just prayed. I also pray, God, for all those that raised their hand, just saying, being honest and saying, I've been going through some sadness, some discouragement in my life. There's been a heaviness. God, I pray for them right now. I pray that the truth of your word, the promises of your word that were spoken today are going to impact their heart and life, God. Lord, you have said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And perhaps they've walked into this place this morning feeling some heaviness, some discouragement, some sadness. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the joy of the Lord is going to be their strength, that the joy of the Lord will return to them. them, God. Lord, I pray that you will help them, Lord, if they've been looking for joy in the wrong things, looking for joy in the wrong places, looking for joy in the wrong relationships, God, I pray that they would come back to Jesus. Lord, that you would be the center, Lord, and they would experience joy in your presence, oh God. Lord, I pray that they would understand that joy is not an emotion that can ride high on some days and then be down the next day. God, I pray that they would know, God, the joy of the Lord that is deep. It's deep in our hearts. It's strong. It carries us through the ups and downs of life. It carries us through every circumstance. God, we started with that great promise that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But Lord, you have come that we might have life and have it to the full. And right now we speak life. We speak life. We speak freedom. We speak freedom. Life. We speak joy. We speak that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray today, God, for anybody in this place, maybe they've had really chronic depression. Maybe it's haunted them for many, many years. God, I thank you today that even that, even something they've carried for such a long time, God, that you can break that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I also want to pray. I also want to pray, God, for anybody, Lord, that they might be feeling like, oh man, I can't talk about this. I can't be honest about this. It is such a lie from the enemy. God, I pray there would be such an atmosphere of authenticity here at Bethel Church. God, that we can be open and honest and real about exactly where we're at. We can take off the mask. We can get real with one another. We can share with one another. We can bear each other's burdens, God. And Lord, that you're going to make us to be a strength for one another, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.